Well, believe it or not, there might be problems with the free will defense.
Problems? Wait a minute. This solves all of our problems. What do you mean there's problems?
Right, right. It helps us in the academic world, but once we take it out in the real world and we say, I believe the Bible, and they go, but do you? there might be some issues with this.
Yeah.
How are we to assess the free will defense? Tim Keller has this a pretty decent quote in here. He says, the free will theodicy has become very popular, but it also may be so partially because our culture inclines us to find it appealing. Mm-hmm. It sounds plausible to people in Western civilizations where we have been taught to think of freedom of choice as something also sacred. I mean, to the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
To the Americans in the audience.
Freedom!
Listen, I mean, don't we love Braveheart? Don't we love Saving Private Ryan? The idea for that, you know, self-sacrifice, freedom, you know, you're going against all things, you know, not American Pie and Lady Liberty and, you know, even the cheesy movies of like the 40s and 50s, we can still find as just like very empowering because we just love that, the you know, we call it like the spirit of man.
That's right.
And you know, the right stuff. We went to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. We love that stuff. But do we subscribe to this libertarian free will?
We choose to go to the moon, right?
Not because it was chosen for us, yeah, but because we freely choose it with no course of action against us. Yeah. So we didn't do it because the communists made us. So the fundamental problems with the free will defense as a response to God and evil center on the viability of libertarian free will. And so here are some of the nine issues that he supports.
Right. So how viable is this idea of free will? Does it really work? Is it consistent with what the scripture says, right? Which is our basis of authority, right? All right. So nine issues here that he finds with this problem of free will, using free will as a defense for all these things, right? For good to happen and God not to be blamed, and we are responsible for our moral choices. So what are they? Well, the first one he says is that libertarian free will lacks biblical support. Well, I mean, if that's the case, we should just go home, right? You know, it's over, right? He says most libertarians assume that their brand of free will is a given and that the Bible operates on this assumption. For instance, right, the whosoever will passages like John 3:16, right, seem to suggest libertarian free will whereby one has an innate ability to heed or resist the gospel call, mm-hmm, right? We have that ability. Yet these passages, he tells us, and others appeal to, can be explained in terms of God's perceptive or moral or instructive will, he says, which can be resisted, whereas his decreative or sovereign will cannot be resisted. So he's given a distinction between two kinds of will that God operates out of. Right? Right. One is a perceptive or moral or instructive will. Right, this is what you ought or should do. The other is based on his sovereign decrees, right, which can't be resisted. Once God says this is the deal, it's over.
Right. Right. Yeah, and you know, we have to think about in proper categories here. So if you're able to have different wills, same thing with love. You know, there are different types of love. I love my wife with a different love than I love my children. And so it's like, oh, well, you know, you're using the same word for different things. Yes, because we need to talk about as things in categories. And so if we can have different wills, why can't God have different wills? And so it's just a thing that we need to realize of what Scripture is doing, because we're kind of limited to our use of language depending on where we're at. And so sometimes we use these wills and we forget about the category that we're putting this will in.
Right, right. It's kind of like your ice cream illustration, right? His moral or instructive will says you shouldn't eat ice cream, right? It's not good for you, let's say, which is, I don't know who would say. But anyway, right?
Evil people.
Shouldn't eat ice cream, right? But, I mean, you're free to eat it, you just shouldn't eat it,
right?
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But his decrees would say something like, I decree that we won't buy ice cream, and so there will be no ice cream in the house.
Yeah.
Now you can't eat ice cream, right? Yeah. So notice, they're both his will. You shouldn't do it, but you can't do it is obviously what can't be resisted, right?
That's the idea. Or my will is to allow my children to eat it in the morning so that they have a stomach ache so that they face the repercussions of it. Well, my one will is to say no ice cream before breakfast. My other will is to say, you know, Mom, I'm going to allow you to do what you desire, and we'll see what the ramifications of that are.
So, so he tells us here that the whosoever will passages also fit, he says, the reformed distinction known as the general call to salvation, which is extended to all sinners, as distinguished from the effectual call to salvation, whereby God effectually draws elect sinners to himself. So we have that distinction here. And it's consistent with that, right? So the whosoever will passages can be, you know, the reformed position, as he says, can support those as well.
Yeah. And so you can kind of think this like it's only Christ died for humans. He didn't die for, I mean, there are ramifications for Christ's death as well. But the salvation aspect, the message of Christ on the cross is really only for humans. What humans? Any human made in God's image needs, you know, in order to get to the right side of God, this is the way that God has presented to us that we need to take hold of, because it's our only way. We failed our own way. We don't have the ability to come before him. This is the way that it comes. So the general call is, you know, to take a hold of this life raft and hold on. The effectual call is God throwing out that life preserver to whoever he wishes to come to him and grab onto it.
Right. So it's the general call would be, you know, take the life raft. The effectual call would be God putting the life raft on people and, or putting him in the life raft, right? Kind of thing.
Right. And all analogies break down. It's fun to know. It's just analogies. So let's not read too much into.
All right. So first, libertarian free will lacks biblical support. That's his first issue that he wants us to understand.
And this, again, this isn't to say that there are no biblical ideas that people that espouse libertarian free will are like, oh, you're right, you caught us. We just have a philosophical understanding. There's no way we can go to any part of the Bible. Again, there are conversations out there for it. And so Christensen is, with the page limit he's allowing himself, is making these shorter claims that could be, you know, whole books. So there's that.